Is daf pei beis. Let's take it pei alef amud beis. The Gemara, last three lines. The Gemara says, "Uparas chatas shchita sheinu ruuyahi." So we're talking about a whole series of types of shchitas, which are not going to be considered. Which is not going to be considered a real shchita. So it's a real tshuva. If a person shechs a paras chatas, which is a paraduma, it's not called a shchita. Rabbi Shimon says, in order to be violating the iser of osis, but no, it has to be a real shchita. Paras chatas is an exception, we had said. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says now that v'hatani, doesn't the Braisa teach us that Rabbi Shimon omer para mitama tumas ochlin? So the din is that the paraduma is able to be mitami tumas ochlin, that if it became tame, has a din of ochel, it's a considered food. Why? Hold the hayisol hashasa kosher. Since there was a moment in time where this paraduma was kosher to eat, it has a chalos shem food to it. If you just look at Rashi before you turn the page, you see Rashi. Look at Rashi. A para metame tumas ochlin. Seven lines upper. So Rashi says the afa gav damar Rabbi Shimon perakamet becharos. That even though he says the isure hana, it's a aser hana could go in shore and niskal. You can't get hana if you take a shore and the shore gets stoned. You can't get hana from it. Upeta chamor is aser hana, and there ain't a metame tumas ochlin. Even though that's the case, that normally things that are aser hana can't be viewed as food. And they're not viewed as food, they can't become tameh. He thinks that paraduma is an exception, that it is mekabel tumah. That's the din. So he's trying to ignore the fact that it's aser b'hana. Let's backtrack a little bit. In order for something to become tameh, let's say a tumas mace. Tumas mace can make a person tameh, it can make kelim tameh, it can make food tameh, it can make mashkid, drinks tameh. So the Gemara is telling us here that a paraduma has a din of ochel, it's called food, and something will be metameh. Rashi is saying, but wait a second, doesn't Rabbi Shimon himself hold that in general, something that is aser b'hana is not able to be mekabel tuma? Since I can't get hana, I can't eat it, it can't be food. He thinks that para aduma is an exception to that rule. Fine. So then the Gemara says, so what's the shasa kosher? So the shasa kosher is that since this para aduma once had a heter to eat it, how is there a heter to eat a para aduma? So the Gemara goes on to say further, v'amarei shlakesh at the top of pei beis, omer haya Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon himself says, para niftes agave marachta. So you could redeem the para, even if it's on the maracha. Even if it's on the maracha, it's on the wood, ready to be burned. So Rashi explains the very top Rashi here. Amar Yishlakish, Omer Haya Rabbi Shimon, para is niftes, imatza nahe mana. If somehow it's a crazy year, there are two paradumas. Obviously we know they're very rare, but let's say you find the even nicer paraduma, so you could redeem the initial one, so much so, afilu agav marachta. Afilu shachta, even if you shechted paraduma A, Kilchasu, you did everything properly, and you put it on the maracha shel eitzim. It's on the logs of wood. Shehi nishchata aleh, on top of which it was shechted. And the Gemara in Pesachim in Parah tells us this. Because Kasava Rabbi Shimon holds, kol ha'omid liftos, kefadoi dami, the karina be she'ata yachal lachila. Since something has the ability, once something has the ability to redeem it, the din is you can redeem the paraduma even when it's shechted already. So that tells us that even though it hasn't been redeemed yet, since it has the potential to be redeemed, it's considered redeemed right now, and has a din of ocha, and you could go ahead and eat it. Even though at the time when I shechted it, it was a paraduma, once I retroactively redeemed the blood, the damim from the kedusha, I could eat it now. So there is a potential shasa kosher to the paraduma, and therefore it's considered a good shchita. Don't call shchita's paraduma a shchita sheinu ruya. There's a possibility that can be a kosher shchita for a person to eat it. Now there's a point here. Normally, you're not allowed to redeem kudshim if it's already shecht. It has to be vehemid v'harich, the pasuk says. You have to be able to stand it and assess the value and redeem it. Once it's been shechted, you can't redeem it anymore. The Gemara tells us that's only true of kedushas haguf, an animal like a carbon chatas. Paraduma, at best, is kedushas bedek habayis, which just means the value of the animal is kedusha, not the actual intrinsic paraduma. And therefore, even when it's dead, I could still assess it in order to redeem the paraduma. What comes out from this Gemara, however, is that a shechita on a paraduma can be a good shechita for me to eat. So why then does Rabbi Shimon call the shechita she'ena ru'uya? So the Gemara answers two lines down on Daf Pei Beis, Amar Rav Shemin Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochan, Paras Chatas, Eina Mishnah. He erased it. And we had that whole list the other day that Rabbi Shimon had a series of examples of where Shechita is Eina Ruya. This should not have been on the list. The Shechita on a Paraduma is considered a good Shechita and would be subject to the halachas of Osis Bino, whatever halachas would be relevant to that of a Shechita.
Because of our Mishnah then?
The mission had said Hashochet Paris Chatas Mishur Niskal the roof of all these Rabbi Shimon says Pater because the Shechita Shein Ruya. We just proved that Shechita Paris Chatas is a Shechita Ruya, meaning it should be subject to Oso Es Beno and all the relevant halachas related to level. There's
yet. There's not a problem because they agree that it's higher.
Because they don't need a Shechita, they have a more expansive understanding of Shechita. Fine. So the Gemara says, and now we just deleted the example of Paras Chatas. Rabbi Shimon agrees Paras Chatas is subject to a real Shechita, and therefore Oso Es Beno. Gemara says, four lines down, of Egla Rufa. We know Egla Rufa, you find a dead person, you don't know who's responsible, so the closest city, the basin of that closest city, needs to bring an Egla Rufa. So the Gemara says, "Egla rufa lav shchita ruuyehi." It's not a good shchita when they break the neck of the egla rufa. So Rabbi Shimon says that's not a shchita ruuyah, and therefore it's not subject to oses. But no, the Gemara is challenging that. We're going to see that in fact it is subject to shchita. V'hatnan, the Mishnah tells us, and appears in the Masechta Sota. That's where all the sugyas of egla rufa are found. So it says, "Nimsa ha-horig." Let's say you find the horig, the one who murdered, the rotzeach. Ad shelo taref, until you've done egla rufa, meaning you took the egla and you brought it to the Nachal Esan, is where the little valley where you're supposed to come break its neck, but you haven't yet broken the neck of the Egla yet. So now you find the murderer, so you don't need to do Egla Rufa. You have the one who's responsible. Bezdin doesn't have to bring an Egla Rufa anymore. So now what happens? Hagala, Teitze Vetira Be'eder, let it go graze. Rashi says it's Mamish Kechun Lagamre, and it's not Aser, and when you go ahead and Shecht it, you can eat it. Fine. So Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yanai Egla. So that what's the Shaila? So we see even in Egla Rufa you can have a case where it's a good Shechita on an Egla Rufa. Namely, if you find the Horig, the murderer, before the Rufa takes place, the Shechita would be effective on this Egla Rufa. So how come Rabbi Shimon says Shechita on an Egla Rufa is not subject to the Lachas of Oso Es Beno? And so the Gemara says once again Amar Rabbi Yanai. This too should be deleted from the Mishnah because a Shechita can be effective on an Egla Arufa and will be subject to Oses. But no. So the Gemara says further now, Umi Amar Rabbi Yanai Hachin, does Rabbani really say this? The Egla Rufa should be deleted from the Mishnah. V'hamar Rabbi Yanai himself. He says, Gvul Shemati Bai. I heard there's a Gvul. I heard there's some type of border, which means there's a point in time where the Egla Rufa becomes Aser and a point in time where it's not yet Aser. So where is that line? Where do we draw the line when the Iser kicks in? V'shechachti. I forgot exactly where that line is. V'nispin Chavre. The Chaverim in the Beis Medrash shared with me the following, that what happens is, Yiridasa L'nachal Esa Nosarta. The moment you bring that Egla down to the Nachal Esan, that valley that's never been worked before, that creates a Chalos Shem Iser. So that's the point I heard. So what's the question here? So the Gemara says, and Vim Yisav, it's really true that he holds such a din, Lishne Kan Kodem Irida, Kan La'ach Irida. What he should have said, instead of deleting the word Egla Rufa from the Mishnah, Egla Rufa, sometimes Shechita will work, sometimes Shechita will not work. If the Egla Rufa already went down to Nachal Esan, which means it's already an Iser that kicks in on the Egla Rufa, Shechita will not work. That would be a Shechita She'ein Ru'uya, and that's where Rabbi Shimon says Shechita doesn't work on Egla Rufa, and it's not subject to Oses Beno. But if it's a Shechita on Egla Rufa prior to its coming down before the Yiridasa to Nachal Esan, meaning there's no Iser just yet, Shechita would be effective.
Isn't this a contradiction with the Mishnah Sota that says actually the Arif?
No, he's just saying that would be, the difference is, that the situation before it was Yarud L'Nachal Esan. And
the Arif is clear, is that until they break the neck.
No, but there's a point where it comes out to Nachal Esan, and then you bring it, and then you break its neck. So in this situation here, are you saying it should have said, Acha Yarud?
The mission itself is very clear, that you can go all the way till it's the Arif.
Mm-hmm. I hear, it's a good question, I'm not sure. Fair. So they asked this question here.
Here also there's a question here.
Apparently Tos asked this question. Uh-huh. So we have to see. Sure. So it seems to refer to the Gemara. Yeah, okay, the Tosa refers to Gemara and Kriza, which discusses this. Either way, the question becomes, instead of Rabbi Yana having to delete the word Egla Rufa from the Mishnah, he could have said that the reason, when is Egla Rufa? When is a shechita on an Egla Rufa not Ru'uya? That's after it's been Yarid L'Nachal Eisan. Instead of deleting it, just be Mokim the case. And since Rabbi Yanai says delete it, it seems to be a steer within Rabbi Yanai. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Pinchas Brei Derav Ami. Anan Mishmei Derei Shlokish Mas Nisan La. We learn Egla Rufa Eina Mishnah. So that's apparently his Mesor was that they accepted Rabbi Yanai's understanding, even though there's a steer within Rabbi Yanai, they accepted this concept, but they didn't quote in the name of Rabbi Yanai. Meaning Rabbi Yanai himself says that there's a point in time where it's Asabrana and a point in time where it's not Asabrana. Rabbi Yanai accepts our Mishnah with the word Egla Rufa. He says Egla Rufa is not a Shechita Ru'uya after it's been Yarur L'Nachal Eisan. Our Mesorah is that when Reish Lakish gave the answer that he deleted the Egla Rufa from the Mishnah is not in the name of Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai is not part of that calculation because he would have given a different answer. He's okay with our Mishnah using the example of an Egla Rufa. So then the Gemara says, Amar Vashi, Rashi says, Ki Avinim Bei, Rav Papa, when I was in the basement, Medrash of Rav Papi, Kashalin, they asked me the following question. Mi Amar Reish Lakish, how could this Reish Lakish really say this idea? That what? Does he really say the din that the Egla Rufa is not Aser, and the Shechita would work on an Egla Rufa? Would he really say that? And that's why he deletes it from the Mishnah? V'ha Itamar, doesn't it say that Tzipori Mitzora? When it comes to the birds, when a Mitzora is becoming Tahor, so the birds of the Mitzora, Me'e Masai Ne'esar, and at what point are they going to be Aser? Rabbi Yochan Amar Misha Shechita, the moment you shecht it, so then there's a Chalos Iser on the Tzipori Mitzora. Reish Lakish argues and says, Amar Mishas Lakicha, the moment you buy it, from that point already it's Asar Brana, those Tzipori Mitzara. And how does Reish Lakish know this? I'm reading on my time at the Reish Lakish, Gamar Kicha Kicha Me'egla Rufa. He learned just like by Egla Rufa, it's Asar, the moment you buy it and use the word Kicha, so too by the Tzipori Mitzara, L'Gzer Shava Kicha Kicha, it's also Asar, the moment you buy it. So what's the problem here? So Reish Lakish says from this discussion that it's Aser from the moment you buy it. While we were saying before, he thinks it's never Aser. You could always shecht an Egla Rufa. And again, here he's saying it's Aser from the Shas Kicha. And the Gemara says, Ayla Amar Rab Fuchia Bar Ava Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, not Reish Lakish, they change it. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says Egla Rufa Eino Mishnah. He deletes the Egla Rufa from this Mishnah. So let me just be clear to sum everything up here. We have three different shitas, it appears, but whether or not Egla Rufa is Aser Bana, Mechaim, or not Aser Bana. So according to Rabbi Yochanan says Egla Rufa is not Aser Bana, and therefore it's a good Shechita, and even Rabbi Shimon would agree it's subject to Oses Bano. The other extreme you have, Reish Lakish, who says the moment you buy it, it's Aser, meaning the Egla Rufa is always Aser, in which case it's always a Shechita She'en Ru'uya to Rabbi Shimon, and therefore Pater from Oses Bano. Then you have the middle Shechita of Rabbi Yanai, he says no, it's Mutar Bana from Shash Lakicha, but after you read Asal Anach Eisan, that's when it's Aser Bana, and only at that point on would it be Shechita She'en Ru'uya to Rabbi Shimon, and therefore not subject to Oses Bano. Okay, the mission now tells us, the new mission halfway down the Amud here. Shnayim shelakhu para ubuna. You have two different people. One guy bought the mother, one guy the cow, and one guy bought the calf. Eze shelakach rishon yishchot, rishon vimkadam hasheni zacha. So who has the right to shecht? Because what happens is, if you and I buying a mother daughter the same day, the first one shechts it, the second guy can't shecht it. So the din is, the guy who bought first has the right to shecht it. But if I am the second guy and I shecht it before you, so I win and you lose out, tough luck, you were too slow. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Linen Dina Tanan, this is in terms of the din. There's no Isser V'Heter. If I'm the buyer two, you're buyer one. So the din is, the proper thing is that buyer one should shecht it first. But if I shecht it first as number two, I'm not violating any Isser. It's not an Isser V'Heter question here. It's just an issue of din. No, there's a hafsa in a time. Let's say he was making a chasana. Yeah, right. So it could be. So they actually asked this question, shouldn't I have to pay you money? It's a grumma nezikim. I'm causing you a day. You have to now buy another cow today, and you don't have a freezer back then to freeze your cow you bought today. So they say there's a different type of grumma garmi. Gets into that conversation. Yeah. Everybody agrees, it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, that if I shecht at first, if I'm number two, I wasn't supposed to, I don't owe you any money, because that's really, it's a grumma benizikin which you're not chayiv to pay. So, but there's no isser involved in doing such a thing. So the Gemara then says, Tana, the Braita tells us, im kadam hasheni, if the second guy shechted before the first guy, hareza zariz v'nischar, I'm zariz, that's a good meat to be zariz, I also got rewarded. What was the zariz v'nischar? Zariz deloi avidisura, I didn't violate an isser. By me shechting before you, I didn't do anything wrong. There's mamish nothing wrong with doing that. But in terms of nischar, the gachel bisra, I'm zochek, I got to eat some meat. And then that was the zariz, and that was the nischar, and that's the end of the conversation. New Mishnah tells us as follows. Shachat para v'charkach shnei vaneha. So let's say you shecht the cow, and then afterward you shecht two of the calves. So then, since they're two different shechitas, you're sofek shmon. You get two sets of lashes. Each set is 40. So 40 times 2 is 80. You get 80 lashes for, could you shecht the two calves? Let's say, shachat shnei vaneha. It's shecht first two calves. There's no violation in shechting brothers or sisters. So I shecht two calves, and then afterwards, acharkach, shochet, sofei, shochet, I shecht the mother, so I'm only sofek eshar bon, even though there's two oses benos, but I only did one maisa shchita was the iser, and there's only one set of lashes. Shachta vesbita, shachta vesbita, and you shecht vesbasbita, sofek shmonim. You shecht the grandmother, then you shecht the mother, so that's one oses beno, and then you shecht the granddaughter, so that's the daughter of the mother, so you violate two separate acts of oso es Beno. But let's say shachta ves basbita. You first shachta, you shecht the grandmother. Then you shecht the granddaughter. So then nothing was wrong with that. But then vachakach shachat bita. Then you shecht the middle one, the mother in the middle. So now at the same time you violate oses beno legave the grandmother and oses beno legave the granddaughter by shechting the mother in between. Sofek es arbam. You only get 40 lashes because you only did one ma'isa shchita at the end. Now they ask a question, an interesting question. How come you don't say the eshel of rum? The Magen Avraham asks, why shouldn't there be an issue here of b'nei banim hareim kebanim? We have a concept in halacha. Many places it comes up in terms of the requirement of a grandson having to mechabe the grandfather. So they end up saying, so that's the question they ask. Why don't we apply this by this? Apparently it's a gezeres hakasuv we have by b'nei banim, by human beings. It's a special gezeres hakasuv. It's not a natural thing to assume that a grandson's like a child. That's a special pasuk, and that pasuk is only found by human beings. So that's why we don't apply it here. But either way, the Gemara ends up concluding, Sumchas Omer, Mishum Rebbe Meir, Sofek Shmonim. He thinks if you shecht that, you know, you have one, two, three in the generations of the animal, you shecht one, you shecht three, and then you shecht number two, you actually get two sets of lashes by shechting number two.
It seems that the reason you ask why doesn't this apply also to
exactly. So they argue. Some say it does go back in that, and right. Some they say it doesn't.
It's actually the same case.
Oh, exactly. Seems like the same case.
Yeah.
So I think Rashi says that. Rashi, someone says this. So look, Tosas says it. Tosas writes, Sumchas Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir Sofik Shmonim Aresha Nami Pali. He argues also on the Resha, but others don't agree to this Tosas, I believe. Gemara now says, Amai Oses Beno, so why is this the case? Why is what the case? Why are you getting only one set of lashes here if you're violating two? You shecht two calves, and then you shecht the mother, you only get one set. So the pasuk says, Oses Beno Amar Rachmana V'lo Beno V'oso. No, sorry. Why? Oh, no, question is, why do you get an iser? The pasuk says, Oses Beno, you shecht the mother and its calf. How come if you shecht the calf and then the mother afterwards, why should there be an iser there? Oses Beno Amar Rachmana V'lo Beno V'oso. You're doing the reverse order of the pasuk. Shechting the calf first, followed by the mother, should be completely fine.
So I think it goes on shachat shnei banim v'acharkach shachat
utayim. Right, but the question is not a question of numbers.
No, right,
the question is the seder,
right. The
order.
Why first?
So the Gemara says, lo, sakadai dech, you wouldn't have such a havimina. The Sani, the Raisa, makes everything very clear for us. Oso vespino, that you shecht ainli, ela oso vespino. First the cow, mother, and then the calf. That's from the pasuk. What about also ves imo? First the calf and then its mother, minayin. How do you know that's also subject to the iser oses? But no, says the braisa kishu omer. When it says in the pasuk lo sishchatu, harei kan shnayim, two different cases. Haketzad echad shocheres para veechad shocheres ima. Whether or not echad shocheres a para, echad shocheres a ima, veechad shocheres bina, shnayim achronim chayavim. Regardless of the case that's going on here, regardless of the seder, all types of shchitas, it's plural, are going to be implied by this pasuk. So that's how we know oso ves beno, and beno the oso are subject to the iser. Gemara says, wait a second, that pasuk lo sishchatu is not available to us. Says the Gemara in the very top of Pei Beis Mabeis now. Lo sishchatu, hami bari le legufo. You need that for the pasuk itself to teach me that the iser is shchita. Had not said lo sishchatu in the pasuk, I would have thought we had no how to violate the iser as oso ves beno. You need to tell me that it's a ma'isa shchita. So it's not available for a drasha. Gemara says, Im kain, lichtov lo sishchot. Why does it say lo sishchotu? My lo sishchotu? Okay, so tell me that to include all types of cases, regardless of the seder, the mother, the calf, or the mother, are included in the iser. Gemara says, that's still not sufficient, because v'akati mibari le, it's still needed, because the ikas rachman lo sishchot, had it taught lo sishchot, have a minachad in trelo. I would think only if one person did the shechting of the mother and the calf, but if two people did it, one guy shechted the mother, one guy shechted the calf, you wouldn't violate the iser, kasarachman lo sishchatu, to tell me that even if two people are doing the ma'aser shechita, and therefore it's not available to include the other halacha of the seder, of the mother, the calf of the mother, we don't know. So Gemara, vafilu trei is included. So Gemara says, im kain, if that was the case, to tell me that multiple people who were shechting it violated the iser, licht of the pasuk should have said lo yishchatu, with the yud. My lo sishchatu with a tav, that's available for the another drasha, shema mina tarti, to tell me that again, regardless of the seder of shechting, mother, calf, mother, it's subject to the iser of oso espino. Okay, the Gemara now says, shachta ves bas bita v'chule, we said the case of you shechta the grandmother, generation one. Then you shecht generation three, and then you shecht generation two in the middle, you've now violated two isurim, but you only get one set of lashes according to the Tanakhama, because you only did one ma'isa shechita. Sumchas at the end argued and says, even that one ma'isa shechita, you get two sets of lashes, because it's oses beno, legabi number one and number two, and then also legabi number two and number three. So asks the Gemara, Amalei Abayli Rav Yosef, my time of the sumchas. What was his reasoning? Kesavar sumchas holds, Achal shnei zeisei chelev ve'elam echad. You eat two kezeisim, two amounts of chelev. Chelev is, of course, asr to eat. And we know whenever there's an iser kareis, you have to bring, if the dumb shogeg, you bring a carbon chatas. So if you ate achal shnei zeisei chelev ve'elam echad, chayv shtei chatos, you need to bring two chatos. Ubedinhu, so did l'shmeinan ve'alma. And we should have really taught this din in general. I mean, he holds, sumchas, this is the Gemara is going to present the suffix here. So one tad's telling us here, when two isurim in one maisa, you get two ramifications, two chatos. Even though I did one maisa, I did one achila, but since it had two kezeisim in it, I bring two chatos. And this is a general rule of sumchas all over Shas. So how come they brought this example only here in Osas Beno? The Haid de Kamash Milan Baha, why they bring it here, and this is the example, this is the model in this Maseches Chulin. Lo diacha kochan de Rabban, to teach me how far Rabbanan go. The Afagav de Gufun Muchlakim, even though the Oses Beno are two different animals, there's the numbers one, generation numbers three, the grandmother and the granddaughter, even then, Patu Rabbanan. It's showing us how makel Rabbanan are. Meaning, in general, Rabbanan hold one Maisa, even though they're two Isurim, you only get one set of Malkos. One would have thought, though, if there are two different gufen muchlakim, two different bodies here, two entities, there's a grandmother and the granddaughter, maybe then Rabbanan would agree there should be two sets of lashes, even though it's one ma'isa shechita. So the Mishnah taught it here, that even in this case, with gufen muchlakim, Rabbanan still are pater. But Sumchas's klal is all over Shas, that's one sad. Odilma, or perhaps, Kesavar Sumchas is of the opinion, he holds, if a guy eats one ma'isa chila and he's eating multiple kezesim, you only get one set of lashes. O says, but no, is the exception to Simchas' din. Hacha, hainu time, why does Simchas say here there are two sets of lashes? It's only one ma'isa. Because hol of a gufim muchlakim, since they're two different gufim, two different entities, there's the grandmother and the granddaughter, so that would be enough of a reason to separate malchus. Now, in general, the concept of separating malchus is a very complicated sugi. It comes up in the Perek Klal Gadol, the beginning of the seventh Perek of Shabbos. It comes up in Maseches Krisos. How does one separate multiple Malkos? Is it based on Psukim? Is it based on Gufim Muchlokim? It's called Shemos Muchlokim, which is based on an Isser Nida and Isser Shabbos. Different Shemos in the Torah separate them. Or is it about physical entities? And the Gemara talks about, let's say you have a Tamchui, different tastes of different foods. Does that separate Malkos? It's a very, very complicated sugi Maseches Krisos. So what the Gemara is saying here, even with them, they also have to define how do you separate. Like the Gemara, the Mishnah Krisos talks about a case where there's multiple women, but it's all the same Isser of Nida. So five, a man is Baal on five different women, but it's all the same Isser of Nida. Or one woman.
But that would be not one Maseches.
So it depends, right, depends on whether it's a hasra in between. But these are cases where it's a separate gufin, but one iser. Or let's say you have one person, woman, who is going to be an ashes ish, and she's also the sister, she also. But it's exactly, it's one guf, but multiple. So they talk about these complicated sugyas. Fine. So Gemara then says, so what's pshat in the simchas? Is this, again, a unique din tzedafka here by Osis Beno because gufin mechlokim? Or he holds this in general, whenever there are multiple isurim, regardless of the ma'isa, multiple isurim, he would say you get sets different sets of malkos. So the Gemara says, Amalei in, yes. Kesavar achal shnei zeisei chelev behel mechad chayv shechatos. Simchas holds in general, even though you've done one ma'isa iser, since you ate multiple shiurim of chaylev, you're chay multiple sets of malkos and multiple sets of chatos. Mimai, how do you know this is his rule? Mititnan, that Misha tells us that hazareya kalayim kalayim loke. If you plant to climb multiple times, you get malkos. So what exactly is this Misha talking about? I think it's actually a brisa. They say it's a brisa, not a Misha. The brisa says kalayim kalayim loke. So my loka, what are you getting lashes? What type of lashes are you getting? Ilema loka achas. If you're getting one set of lashes, pshita, that's obvious. What's the brisa tell me? You do klaim, you get malchus. We know the klal. Whenever you do a lav, it means you get malchus. So that can't be a chiddush of the brisa. But, oh, and moreover, my klaim, klaim. Why does it repeat the word klaim? Sounds like you're doing two different things here. So ela pshita beis malchayos. Certainly you're getting two sets of lashes. Kalayim, kalayim, you get loka for both violations. So then the Gemara says, so what's the case? But my asking, what's the scenario? Elaim, if you're telling me, b'zachazer, he did a zareh kalayim, and then again he did it another time, zareh kalayim, two different times, u'b'shei hasraos, and he was warned each time, don't do it, and he planted it, don't do it again, and he planted it. Well there, that's obvious. Hatanina, the Mishnah tells us, nazir shayah shows a yayin kol hayom. A nazir is drinking wine all day long, and he's of course not allowed to. One of the three isurim that apply to a nazir. Eino chayv ala achas. He's only chayv one. Amru lo, you say to him, al tisha v'hu shosa. Al tisha v'hu shosa. You tell him don't drink, he drinks. You tell him don't drink again, he drinks again. It happens each occasion. So what happens in that case? Chayv ala achas v'achas. When each mice is separated by a separate hasra, a separate warning, he is chayv a separate set of lashes. So that would be an obvious Mishnah we know. The brisa wouldn't add something we already know from a clear Mishnah. Ella achas, ella pshita bevas achas. We're talking about a case where he drank it all in one shot, and he did the zareya kalayim all in one shot. Uba asra achas, and with one warning, you say don't plant those kalayim, and he did it two times within one warning. So what's going on? Money ilema rabbanan. If this is according to rabbanan, the paligale the sumchis hashta mahasim. Not just like there by osus beno. The gufun muchlakim, even when they're separate entities, there's a grandmother and a granddaughter cow, and yet patri rabbanan, hachal koshkin, here, we're not gufun muchlakim, it's all, he's being zarek klaim, all one unit it seems. Obviously, in the case of klaim, rabbanan would say you only chayv one set of lashes, so clearly this brisa is in the opinion of the rabbanan, ella, lav sumchas, he must be sumchas. And we see from Sumchas, even by the case of Kalayim, when there's Bevas Achas, you're chayv two sets of Malkos. So too, when you eat Chaylev in one Maisa, you're chayv two sets of Chataos. And so too, that's his reasoning by Ozes Beno. This is a general klal of Sumchas. And the Gemara says, lo, not true. The Yolam Rabbanim, really that Bryce is Rabbanim. And Milsa Agav Orcha Kamashvlan is teaching us a din, a separate chiddush here. Nothing to do with what we've been talking about at all. Dika Trey Gavni Klaim, telling us there are two types of Klaim. What does it mean, two types of Klaim? So there are many types of Klaim that are out there. We're talking about Kileat Kerem. Kileat Kerem is when you mix grapes, vines, and seeds with grains. So what's going on here? Telling us that La Fuke Midi Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia is a famous sheet that brought down the Sugyan Brachos as well. The Amar Rabbi Yoshia, Ad She Yizrak Chita B'Sora V'Chartzan B'Mapolz Yad. Rabbi Yoshia is Mechadish that in order to violate Kalayim or Kilei Kerem, you have to mix wheat barley and grape seeds all together, one mapolas yad, one handful, all mixed together. That's the shita of Rabbi Yoshia. So this Brice is telling us we don't hold that way. Kamashalan dichi zarachita of the charton or sover charton nami mechayev. What do you mean klaim? There are two types of klaim. You're either going to mix wheat and grape seed or barley and grape seed. Either one independently will be chayev malkos. And this has nothing to do with violating multiple yisurim in one ma'isa. To chidush in what is exactly is a violation of the kilei haker.
So the word kilaim is outside as additional to karmecha, so it has to be two.
A separate type of kilaim, okay. Gemara now says Toshma. So still we haven't concluded yet what is the opinion and the understanding of Sumchis. The Gemara now brings a long Raisa. The Raisa tells us that Toshma, Achal Mizeh Kazayis, Yudah Kazayis of this, a Kazayis of that. It's talking about, this is Rashi's Mishnei Gid Handasha. Shal Shtei Yerechol Shal Behema Achas. So you have Gid Hanasha on the right leg and the left leg, the sugyas, we're going to learn these sugyas in the Gid Hanasha, the seventh parak of Chulin, but eat the two thighs of the animal, and there's a Gid Hanasha in either one. So now, in both of them, rather. So you eat Alchemizekazais, eat a kazais of each of the legs, each Gid Hanasha. So fake Shmonim, you get to 80 lashes, because each Gid Hanasha, each leg is a separate Isser. Rabbi Huda Omer, Eno Sofeg Ela Arbam, you only get 40. It's all considered one ma'isas. The Gemara says, Hechidami, here we go. What's the case here? Ilema b'zach, as everybody's talking about, when you ate them one after the next, u'b'shtei atzeraos. The guy said, don't eat that, and you ate it. And he said again, don't eat that one, and he ate it. So my time with Rabbi Huda, hasra safeku. What's the reasoning, Rabbi Huda? He shouldn't get chayv any lashes, according to Rabbi Huda, because shema'in and mihol lay the Rabbi Huda, damar hasra safek lo shema asra. When there's a safek by asra, it's not called hasra. So let me explain what's going on here. Whenever there's asra, don't do that. And he's carrying something on Shabbos. And he says, don't walk outside with it. And he walks outside, that's Hasra Vada, because you know he's going to carry this out. But let's say there are two things in front here. You say, don't carry anything outside. Now you don't know if he's going to pick up Chefza A or Chefza B. That's a level of a suffix. To be Hasra Vada, it has to be clear what exactly he's going to do. So in this case, where the two Gidanashas in front, and you tell him, don't eat the Gidanasha, well, since you don't know which one he's going to eat first, that's called a Hasra suffix. And Hasra suffix for Rabbi Huda does not qualify as a hasra, so you should not be chayv any malkos according to Rabbi Yehuda. So it can't be a case of two b'zach hazeh and shtei hasraos. What's how do we know Rabbi Yehuda thinks a hasra suffik is not a hasra? The Gemara brings a raya for this. The Sanya, the Brachos, teaches us hika hazeh v'chazav hika hazeh. Let's say the person hits someone. Look at Rashi. The case here, Rashi says, a guy gave a get, and the wife was supposed to wait 3 months before getting remarried. Because if she doesn't wait 3 months and she gets pregnant from a new husband, you don't know who the father is. If it's the first husband and the second husband, she didn't wait the 3 months that she's supposed to. Benises, and she gets married, the Yalda gives birth, and there's a Safek ben Tisha l'Rishon. Is this a 9-month baby from the first husband? Or perhaps it's a Safek ben Shiva l'Achon. Is it a 7-month baby from the second husband? Uchshigadal, and this child gets bigger, and we don't know who his father is. Is it father A or father B? And he hits father A and hits father B. We don't know which one it is. So what's the lacha? The Gemara says, back inside, the Sanya, hika zev, hika chazav, hika zev, he hits father A, then he hits father B, or kila zev, chazav, kila zev, he curses his father A, then curses father B. Oh, shehika shneim b'vas achas, he hit both of them at the same time, he one with the right hand, one with the left hand, he knocks them out both at the same time. Oh, shekilo b'shneim b'vas achas, or he curses both of them at the same time. So according to the Tanakam, he's chayef, because even though we don't know who exactly was the father, he covered all his bases, and he's chayef for hurting, he's chayef for cursing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer bevas achas chayv. If you do this all in one shot, so then you're chayv. But bezach hazeh pater, because since we don't know who is the father, it's always called a hasras suffix. That's how we know. So this can't be the case of a
meaning what? there were two people there, and he says, "Don't hit
both of them.
Don't hit a person.
Don't if it's only a person, and he hits
he hits one.
Right. So that's zach hazeh. He's pater." If he says, don't hit both of them, he hits both of them at the same time.
Right, because each hatra, there's a suffix on each hatra.
Exactly.
At the moment that he's
exactly. And that doesn't qualify as right. A asura for Rabbi Yehuda. Right. So now we're going back to our case here. If our mission where the guy ate the kazayas of Gidanasha, If it's a case of bezeach hazeh, separate eatings, so Rabbi Huda in general holds, that would be considered hasra safik, and you shouldn't be chayiv any malchus. But our braisa says, by the case of Gidon Asher, Rabbi Huda thinks you are chayiv 40 lashes. So that can't be the case. So the Gemara then says, Ela pshita b'vas ha'achas, u'bisra ha'achas. It must be a case where he ate them together, and he was warned, don't eat both of them, and he ate both of them. And man tanaka, so that's the din. So man tanakama, who's a tanakama that thinks in such a case where you eat both gidanashas in one shot in one asra, you're chayv 80 malkos? Who is that? Ilema rabbanan de poligaleh de sumchis, a rabbanan of our mishnah against sumchis, who holds that oses, but no, you're only chayv one. So the Gemara says that can't be the case. Hashem mahasim de gufim uchlokim patri rabbanan. There, by the case of Oseth Beno, with one Maisa Shechita, you only chayv one set of lashes, even though there are two animals we're talking about here. Hachala Kolshe, and certainly in this case, by eating the Gidanasha of one animal, certainly, two Gidanashas of one animal, certainly Rabban would agree your pater from two sets of lashes, you only chayv one set. Ela lav Sumchas, it must be Sumchasi. And we see from here that Sumchas says, even by a case of one guf, one animal, violating two Isurim, two Kizesim, one animal, is considered your chayv two sets of malchus. So we learn from here, this is a general shita of sumchas all over Shas. One maisa can result in two different sets of malchus. To which the Gemara says, lo, not true. Liolam mezachazeh. Really, it's a case of eating one after the next. Rabbanim. And that's why Rabbanim hold, you get two separate sets of lashes. He ate Gidanasher once. He was warned the second time, don't eat this Gidanasher. He ate it a second time. He's chayv two sets of malchus. Classic case of mezachazeh. So the question becomes, v'hai tana savar leik idach tana to Rabbi Huda. How come Rabbi Huda then, if it's a case of bezeach hazeh, how come the Braisa says that Rabbi Huda holds your chayv malchus? Rabbi Huda should say you're pater for malchus, because in a case of zeach hazeh, we don't know which one he's eating, that's a hasra safek. And he holds all over the hasra safek's not hasra. So Gemara says there's another tana Rabbi Huda which says differently. D'amar hasra safek shma hasra. There's a machlokas, what is Rabbi Huda's shita? So this braisa assumes that he does accept a asra safik. Where do we see that he holds asra safik shema asra? Gemara quotes a braisa, the sanya. Last two lines of the Amud here, losos siru menu ad boker, vanosu menu ad boker, ba'esh tisro. For one should not leave any nos or anything left over from the carbon. Those who do, it's an iser of lo siru, but it's a nitek lase. You could fix it by burning it the next morning. Ba kosev says the Gemara in Pei Gimel, ba kosev litain ase acher lo sase, leomar she'en lokin alav divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So the reason why you get malchus is because alav hanitek lase. Now, why do you need to come on to that? Shouldn't you come on to the fact that's considered a asra suffix? Says Rashi in the top here, ba kasev lomar litain ase, taima de ba kasev. Only because the pasuk said you could burn it the next day, that's why you don't get malchus. Ha lav hachi, had not been for the ability to burn it, lucky you would have gotten malchus afagav de asra suffiki. Even though this asra suffix, it's implied that Rabbi Huda would have said you do get malchus. Let's see, the chol emas de asri bei matzi amar akati lelehu. Every time you warn him, you can still say it's night. It's night. Right. I still have time. I still got time. I still got time. Whenever there's some level of things are unclear, it's considered asra safik. Yet he still says you would have gotten malchus, and only because it's a nitek lase are you not getting malchus. And that's the shita that Gemara goes like. They just finished the brisa. And the Gemara ends up saying, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, lo min Hashem huzeh. That's not why you don't get malchus by nosar. El mishum dehavale lav shem b'maisa. And we know there's a klal, cholav shem b'maisa ain't lokin alav. You didn't leave out the nosar with an action. It was a passive. By you doing nothing, you just let it be. When you let the nosar just kind of sit out there, lots of lav shem b'maisa. And lav shem b'maisa, the lach is ain't lokin alav. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow. Tomorrow's a Sunday schedule, so we'll learn after.